Coming up on this week's book show, Lewis Byard's new novel, Courting Mr. Lincoln, is an intimately drawn evocation of the love between the brilliant, melancholic future president and the two people who knew him best, his charming confidant, Joshua Speed, and his spirited future wife, Mary Todd. Lewis Byard, on this week's book show. Welcome to the Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. Lewis Byard's new novel, Courting Mr. Lincoln, is an intimately drawn evocation of the love between the brilliant, melancholic future president and the two people who knew him best, his charming confidant, Joshua Speed, and his spirited future wife, Mary Todd. Told in alternating chapters from Speed and Todd's points of view, the novel offers a three-pronged portrait that honors each party and captures the essence of the awkward young lawyer, the self-possessed debutante who was surprised by her own attraction, and the inseparable and loyal friend who some historians have speculated was Lincoln's romantic partner. Lewis Byard is a New York Times notable book author and has been shortlisted for both the Edgar and Dagger Awards for his historical thrillers. They include The Pale Blue Eye and Mr. Timothy. It's a pleasure to welcome Lewis Byard to this week's book show. Lewis, thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thanks. It's great to be here.
It seems, given your business, given what you have done in your career, that eventually you would come around to writing about Abraham Lincoln.
Well, I've been working my way through dead people. It's true. I did a book about Teddy Roosevelt recently, so I'm working on dead presidents. And yeah, eventually, I guess you're always going to come around to Lincoln. But Lincoln is a particularly interesting figure, I think, because he's so mysterious. Even to the people who knew him best when he was alive, he was a complete enigma. So I think that's one of the reasons we keep coming back to this guy. What was going on? What was going on? And of course, one of the things that was most mysterious about him was his choice of a life mate.
That is to say that much of this novel is really about the relationship with Mary Todd Lincoln, and the novel is told from her perspective in alternating chapters with that of Joshua Speed, who is a confidant of Lincoln's. So before we get into the Joshua Speed story, let us talk about just the fact that so much has been written about Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
That what did you feel had gone unnoticed here that could be addressed by a novel?
We still don't know what exactly drew Lincoln and Mary Todd together in the first place. They were two very different people. What brought them together? How did they join their ambitions and embark on this fraught and complex and also loving and enduring union? We tend to see them in the late stages of things. If you remember the Steven Spielberg movie of Lincoln, we see Mary Todd at her most benighted and frustrated and unhappy. She's lost children, and she's organizing seances in the White House, and she's driving her husband mad and being called mad herself. So we see her in real distress and under duress. And it's a relief in some ways, particularly for a writer, to go back and catch her at her in her youth when she's 20, 21, and she's coming into the town of Springfield, Illinois, and she's one of the belles of the town. And she's attractive and intelligent and spirited, unusually well-educated for a woman of her era, and has a profound and abiding passion for politics. Because this is pre-suffrage days, she can't run for office herself. She can't even vote for office, but she can find a good candidate. And that's what she was in the process of doing. And Lincoln, of course, was in the market for a suitable wife, and so they meet each other. But it was not an automatic instant attraction, and they ran through a few bumps along the road. And I think a lot of people just don't know about this particular part of Lincoln's life.
You do write about this idea of Mary Todd Lincoln, that she was a madwoman, a shrew, a spendthrift, and that the Mary Todd Lincoln that you found at this point in her life was very, very different, was not that at all.
Yeah, and I think it's something that Mary Todd's critics, and they are many, and they are legion, and they were around during her lifetime as well, they just see the end game of Mary Todd. They see the struggles that she was going through. And in fact, as she became a more public figure, she becomes a more difficult figure, too. She becomes less balanced in a way. But in this early part of her, she is very highly marriageable, and she has a lot of things to bring to any particular alliance. I think that's important to understand, because when people try to figure out, okay, why did Lincoln marry this difficult woman? Well, because she brought these assets to the marriage, and because she was a political advisor, and because she cared deeply about his profession. And those would have all been things that made her stand out among all the other young women of Springfield, Illinois.
So looking at Mary Todd Lincoln through this lens that you have found, is that when you thought and said, okay, well, she should be telling her side of the story? I would like her to tell this story.
I think so, because she so often doesn't get to voice her own story. Her story was told in many cases by her enemies. One of them, for instance, was William Herndon, who was Lincoln's law partner and one of his, perhaps his most influential biographer. He cordially loathed Mary Todd, and his whole biography of Lincoln is couched in a way to embarrass her, to make her look in the worst possible way to readers. And that image of her has taken. So I like the idea of putting her back in control of her own story. And I also like the fact that this is a courtship novel, so she's essentially taking the part of a Jane Austen heroine. I've been told that this book is like a Jane Austen novel with Lincoln in the middle of it, and it is. It's very much a courtship narrative, and she's you know, in the market for a husband, not because she's shallow or vain, because that's what women needed to do to ensure their futures. They needed to find the right husband. They needed to make the best possible choice, because they only had one choice, and this was it. So she staked everything on him. That makes it, to me, a more touching and a more interesting story.
As mentioned, we also meet Joshua Speed in this novel. Tell us where Lincoln is, and in this courting of both the Joshua Speed and the Mary Todd camps come in.
Well, Lincoln is living over Joshua Speed's store. Joshua Speed is another Kentuckian, and he owns a dry goods store. Lincoln lives over it, and more to the point, he and Joshua share a bed together. And they shared that bed for something like 3.5 years. Now, it was common in those days for bachelors to share beds because bedding was expensive. What's less common is to share it that long. And what makes these two bachelors stand out is the depth of their attachment. Speed himself would later say that no two men were more intimate. And I think most Lincoln biographers would agree that Speed was the person to whom Lincoln was closest in out of all the other people in his life.
And when the courting began, what you seem that in the writing that they both have a take on what is best for this man, Abraham Lincoln, who is filled with melancholy. He is not the, let's say, the easiest guy to get along with, although brilliant.
Right, and he's a tough read, you know. He's a tough read, and he always was. Mary's family actually found him rather cold, because he wouldn't necessarily wear his heart on his sleeve for you. But as I conceive it, and of course this is a work of speculative fiction, I see Mary Todd as being reluctantly brought around to Lincoln as a candidate through a friend of theirs, a mutual friend, Mrs. Francis. I see Joshua as wanting to hang on to this bachelor lifestyle that he and Lincoln have established. They've made, in effect, a pact between them that they are never to marry. Now, the reasons behind that pact are left a little unspoken, but I think I can say now that the book also reflects recent decades of scholarship in which people have sought to figure out what was going on in this very intense and almost passionate friendship between these two men. There are some people who have even claimed that it was a gay relationship. So the book is an attempt to kind of explore what those feelings would look like in the context of Springfield, Illinois, circa 1841, and they would look very different then than they would in today's society.
Tell us a little bit about the personality differences between Mary Todd and Joshua Speed. He was a very charming person, was certainly a confidant of Lincoln's. She was very spirited at the time, as we mentioned. So they are interesting personalities.
They are. They actually have as much in common, I think, as they have different. They both come from Kentucky aristocracy. They both have that class element to them. And in the course of the book, Speed is the one who indoctrinates Lincoln in etiquette and helps him become this more polished gentleman. Because Lincoln, let's face it, was a rube coming into Springfield. He lived in New Salem. He didn't know, you know, what kinds of hats to wear. There are anecdotes about him sort of storming into salons and embarrassing himself in front of the ladies. So he needed work. And in this telling, Speed is the one who works with him. And it winds up being, though, to Mary's benefit, because Mary herself wants a polished candidate and a successful candidate. And she's extremely ambitious. And one of the things that Lincoln does to woo her, in fact, and this is a real-life historical anecdote, he sends her his election returns. Instead of roses, he sends her a page of election returns just to show that he is a strong candidate, that he's pulling more votes than other Whig candidates in the same region. That was very important to her to know that.
We are talking to Lewis Byard. The new novel is Courting Mr. Lincoln. Let us talk about what you're speculating in this book is fascinating because, as you point out, this is something that was questioned at the time. There were people that were working alongside of Abraham Lincoln that looked at this mystery of who Abraham Lincoln was going to choose as a life mate and found it to be fascinating.
And frankly, kind of baffling, you know, because she could be a rather difficult person. And she was extremely jealous, for instance. So if her husband paid any attention to another woman, even if it was just in a ceremonial or fraternal kind of way, she would, burst into tantrums. So people were baffled as to why, you know, Lincoln bore up under these. She was a very, I won't say bipolar because that is a medical diagnosis beyond my competence, but she was highly variable. Somebody compared her to a summer day, clouding up one moment and sunshine in the next minute. So that made her difficult to be around for some people. But she was certainly a loving mother to her kids, and she had a lot of assets. As I said, she brought a lot of things to the table. People were baffled by that. And perhaps Speed was too, although there's not a lot of record of his feelings about her that I'm aware of.
Is there any record about her feelings about him?
She does refer to him briefly in a letter. And one of the things that she says is that he and Lincoln are always together. That was one thing that was known about them in Springfield. They were boon companions. They went everywhere together. And of course, they lived together. They slept together. So they really were, in some ways, a kind of couple. I think it was once a month they hosted sort of the local political potentates. They would invite them over to Speed's store, and they'd sit in the back of the store by a fire and have a round table discussion. This would be Democrats and Whigs. Stephen Douglas was there and all the other leading politicians, and they'd meet at the back of Speed's store in a kind of salon that Speed and Lincoln put together. So they did the kinds of things that couples do, but of course they would never have been called a couple in that day and age.
Carl Sandburg, you point out, wrote that they had streaks of lavender.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an amazing line coming from, I think it was written in the 1920s. And that was his coded way of saying, this is not just your normal guy friendship. This is something a little different. And I think he confided to somebody elsewhere that he really didn't know how to begin discussing this relationship. He didn't feel he had the right knowledge or vocabulary to discuss it. So that was his one way of sending out a code.
And that, in many ways, comes from what Speed himself said, as no two men were ever closer.
Yes, those were his very words to William Herndon. And I think a lot of, as I've said, many of Lincoln's other biographers have agreed with that perception. The only question is, you know, was it just a friendship or was there something a little more? I will say that I stay out of the sex question in the course of the book. There are no actual sex scenes in this book for anybody who's concerned about that. There are a couple of sexy moments and a couple moments where you feel like sex could happen. And that's both with Mary and with Joshua. But My feeling was that their feelings would, in the context of 1841 Springfield, be largely unspoken and emerge in strange and curious ways. There's a scene, for instance, where Joshua is teaching Abraham how to dance a waltz, and they're waltzing through Speed's store because this is the one of the things that a political candidate would have needed to know: how to dance, how to waltz, how to quadrille. And he's the one, as part of his overhauling mission on Lincoln's manners and mores, he's the one who leads him through the store, actually follows him, follows Lincoln. So there are these moments where something is suggested, but never fully named. To me, that's just in keeping with the era.
Lewis Byard is the author of Courting Mr. Lincoln, a novel. One of the things that you point out, one of the other mysteries of this book, is why did Mary Todd settle on Abraham Lincoln? She is a woman who is very interested in politics, and you could say that she may have even, if it was appropriate at that time, she would have even looked to office herself.
Yes, I think we can imagine if she was born 100, 150 years later, pursuing a kind of Hillary-style career maybe, and perhaps being reviled in the same way that Hillary has been. But back then, the only option was to find yourself a husband. And she did have choices. Stephen Douglas was reportedly besotted with her. There are rumors that he even proposed marriage to her. And supposedly, the family lore says that I will marry a president, but it won't be you. I don't know if that really was the case. But I find it fascinating that she found what she was looking for in Lincoln, because there were other people wooing her. But she found something in him, and she thought he had the goods. And if you'd asked anybody in Springfield, Illinois, if who in that town was going to be president within 20 years, Lincoln would have been on nobody's list. I don't think he was considered even the third or fourth most prominent politician in that town at the time. Stephen Douglas, for sure. So it's an act of real prescience on her part that she found him to fit the bill.
When you are telling the story from both the perspective of Mary Todd as well as Joshua Speed, what was it like for you in the writing to not take sides of these two characters?
Yeah.
and to present their stories in a way that doesn't come off as a competition?
Well, that's a great question, because in effect they are competing for the same man, and that's over the course of the book, but they're also coping with the enigma that is Lincoln and trying to understand his feelings for them, and that's challenging as well. So they are sometime rivals and they're sometime allies. I liked the idea of them being dual narrators, because I thought that allows you to look at the same events from different perspectives and see what the different energies people are bringing, say, to a dinner, an otherwise ordinary dinner. Well, that Mary Todd is bringing a much different energy to that than Joshua Speed, and it gives a dimensionality to the scenes that I think is really interesting. But in general, I try to like my characters as much as I can. And I don't know how to say that in a way that doesn't make it sound like a moral choice. It's really, I just find them interesting, and I want them to be heard, and I want their feelings to come out one way or another. So it becomes a kind of democracy. It's like, okay, we've heard from Mary, now let's hear from Joshua. And they occupy about the same amount of space in the novel, and they both come together again in the epilogue. It's the ultimate equal time, I guess.
And it does seem as though you honor all three parties, not only Mary Todd and Joshua, but of course, President Lincoln.
President Lincoln himself, or pre-President Lincoln in this case, yes. I mean, I try to honor all three parties, and it's interesting to me because sometimes the bigger the personality, this was true for Teddy Roosevelt too, the more helpful it is to look at him from an outsider's perspective. And then you can get, again, that dimensionality. You can get people looking at him from different angles, and those different angles cohere into something hopefully that's rich and complex and full.
Do you still see and find the enigma there of Lincoln, or did it clear up for you?
No, I think it only deepened. And I think that's appropriate, because he withheld so much of himself from not just the public eye, but from the eyes of his friends and family. And I think, as I said before, I think that's why we keep coming back to this guy, because he doesn't reveal everything to us, but he reveals just enough. And of course, what he revealed most dramatically in this period was the deepness, the extent of his depression. He experienced in 1842, probably the most severe depressive episode of his life. And two things happened just beforehand. One was he broke off his engagement with Mary Todd. And the other was that Joshua Speed announced he was going away and moving back to Kentucky. So you had these two, in the context, rather traumatic events all coming together. And within short order, Lincoln is prostrate with depression, unable to go to the State House, unable to get out of bed. And the doctors, the physicians at the time, would have done all the horrific cures that were then practiced in the name of medicine. But it never again would he be laid so low by depression. So that is something that's very much a part of the Lincoln in this book. He's a deeply melancholy figure.
Talk a little bit about the time frame. Mary Todd meets Abraham Lincoln in Springfield in the spring of 1840. How long does the courting of Mr. Lincoln take?
It's an on and off process. A year to the first engagement, and that's broken off after, say, 6 months. And then they part for another year and a half, I think, and then come back together. And Mary, I think, finally in November of, 1843? So it was definitely an on and off thing. It was hard for them to quit each other. And it was hard for Lincoln and Speed to quit each other. In fact, you know, even after Speed went back to Kentucky, even after he married, he did make some trips back to Springfield. One of the things I should say that really helped inspire the book was the letters that Lincoln wrote to Joshua Speed while he was in Kentucky. And this is while Speed was himself preparing to get married. And the letters are fascinating in the way that they reveal two men who are really trying to coax and coach each other into this normative heterosexual path. And they're both very much concerned about Joshua's wedding night, you know, in a way that I think is really suggestive. And one of the things that Lincoln begs him to do is write him a letter the morning after the wedding night to tell him how things have gone, because Lincoln is extremely concerned about that. Again, it's just very, very suggestive documents that inform the book. And one of those letters is, in fact, in the book, reproduced exactly as it was.
When you look at those letters, what do you learn about both relationships in the sense of, because it seems that there's such an intensity in both relationships.
There's a real intensity. We only see Lincoln's side of it. We don't have Speed's letters back to him. But it's clear the bond that they share. It's clear that the deep concern that Lincoln has for his friend. And one of the things that's telling, too, is how he signs off. He says, "Your friend forever." In fact, he never used that closing salutation with anybody else but Joshua Speed, not with his wife, not with anybody else. "Your friend forever." So there really is something quite romantic about this correspondence. Again, whether it crossed the border into sexual activity, to me, is almost beside the point. This was the most intense relationship of Lincoln's life, bar none. And I think fiction has been slow to acknowledge that. So that's one of the gaps that I hope to fill with Courting Mr. Lincoln.
We were talking earlier about the idea that many people have had about Mary Todd and how she comes off in the early days. How does that reconcile itself later on, a period you don't write about, but much later on, the troubles in the marriage and, of course, the personal turmoil that they have together?
Well, one of the things I try to do is prefigure some of her mental illness. So there is a recurring sound that she gets in her ear, a flapping of wings, that drives her to distraction. It's a kind of mortality symbol, if you like. So the sense that there's already something a little bit broken in her. We learn about her childhood, for instance. We learn about her losing her mother at a young age. Lincoln also lost his mother at a young age, and that was one of the things that bound them together. But I think part of what the book will leave you with is, again, this enigma of Lincoln. Does he love this woman? Does he love this woman the way that she has come to love him? And it may be that imbalance, that fundamental uncertainty, is what doomed their marriage, or what made it a more complicated business than it would otherwise have been. It seems to me she was a very, very insecure woman, even more so as she got older. And she needed a great deal of reassurance. At one point, Joshua Speed in the book compares her to a thirsty lily that, you know, you can never water it enough. And I think that's how she came to be. And I think with a more forthcoming, a more naturally affectionate husband, perhaps that would have been slaked more. But Lincoln was a very removed and even occasionally cold fellow to live with. And of course, he was gone so often. He was traveling the judicial circuit as a lawyer, drumming up cases for money. And so he was gone for months at a time, leaving her a single mother in Springfield. And there was a great deal of isolation living with Lincoln. He was either not there physically, or he was not always there emotionally. So it was a tough road to hoe for her.
The novel also, of course, has a universal nature and thread to it, which is why do people fall in love with each other in the first place?
Yes, it does. And that is universal, and it's universally mysterious. You know, you can't figure it out. I think we all look at the people in our lives, if we've been lucky to be with somebody for a long time, you think about all the contingencies that went into making that happen. You know, if I had done this instead of that, if I'd gone there instead of here, would we have met? Would we have kids now? All these things that had to align for this relationship to happen. Sometimes it's a wonder that relationships do happen, given all the things that can go wrong. And there's a moment in the book where Mary says, "How could anyone be known, anyone at all, here on God's green earth?" In the sense that we're jumping into the void every time when we become married, when we embark on a relationship with somebody. There's still so much we don't know about them, and there are things we will never know about them. And still we plunge ahead, you know, hoping for the best. And that's something that's so touching and human about that.
We began our discussion by talking about how many books have been written about Lincoln. And when you use Lincoln as a fictional character, how do you want us to leave the novel feeling about this man and believe that it in any way can change what we think about him and how we think about him?
I'd like to hope that people leave the book feeling that he's an even more complicated figure than he was before. Even if that means that you can't figure him out, that the enigma of him is a little deeper, is more sharply delineated. And the fact of the simple question of where did his heart belong, the fact that we can't even really thoroughly answer that question, says a lot about Lincoln as a man, about the defenses he put up around his heart, around his emotions. And I think that has to inevitably color how we feel about Lincoln the public figure too, because you can't separate one from the other.
When it comes to the history of how sacred you want that to be in your writing?
I'm not very sacred about that, because I am a novelist. And in my belief, my allegiance is always to the story. I'm trying to tell the best story I can. Even when it's about real life people, I will sometimes give myself permission with no apology to create, to embroider, to speculate. I try wherever possible to hew, though, to the actual historical record and to the documented psychology of these characters. Mary Todd is not going to become a long, tall, cool blonde. You know, I don't know. She's gonna look the way she looked, and she's gonna feel and think the way that I see her feeling and thinking, just from what I see in history. What the novelist will do is, what I will do is sometimes change the sequence of things. I will sometimes create things that I think might have happened. I think the historical novelist is trying to get at a different kind of truth than the historian. The historian is obviously obligated to respect what the historical record tells us, but that record can tell us only so much, and it's when the record falls silent that a novelist can say, hey, I think it might have worked this way.
Lewis Byard's new novel is Courting Mr. Lincoln. It is published by Algonquin. We enjoy hearing from our listeners about our shows. You can email us at book@wamc.org. Sarah LeDuc produces our program. Bookmark us for next week, and thanks for listening. For The Book Show, I'm Joe Donahue.